I would like to welcome everybody to tonight's evening of inspiration. Bishop Harav Avi Meiri, to be an American, is Chutz Rafur Shlema. And it's really a great honor for the call to host this event and have the Rabbanim, who are the leaders of our community, our guides, and they at the forefront of our spiritual life, and they guide us with the wisdom and insight. And I thank them for joining us tonight, as well as an opportunity for us all to express our deep gratitude to the Rabbanim, to the wonderful relationships that we forged over the years, And we have many programs that we do in Yom Gizel and Potomac, Father and Son Learning, Sunday Night Kollel, Monday Night Women's Class, Shabbatonim, Yom Gizel Shomrei Emuna, Linus HaTzedek, Sunday Torah, Summer Seminar, Shabbatonim. So I thank them very much for the strong support and partnership and friendship. It's truly an honor. Also, I'd like to acknowledge the presence of Rabbi Sussman, who's doing a stellar job as the assistant rabbi here in Southeast, as well as to thank the shul for being such a wonderful host for the Kollel. Limited space, and he's been so gracious, and it's been really, truly a wonderful relationship, and I thank everybody. The day of Rosh Hashanah is commonly referred to as Yom HaDin. It's a day of judgment. We come in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're judged on all things that are important to us. Our parnasa, our livelihood, our health, the success of our children, and life itself. Now, if I were to ask you what's our objective and goal on this day of Rosh Hashanah, certainly you would think that our job is to come in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to seek and implore Hashem for all the things that we desire, that we should be healthy, that we should have hatzlacha, that our children should be well, we should have menuchas ha-nefesh. But yet, when we look at the Rosh Hashanah liturgy, we look at the tefillos, the amidah, the musaf, there's really scant mention of all our wishes and hopes that we hope to attain for this year. Very curious thing. It would seem to belie the intent of what we would imagine our goal and objective would be on this day. Another question, and this is a rather famous question. We all know Rosh Hashanah, first day of Tishrei, and 10 days later we have Yom HaKippurim, a day of forgiveness, Slicha and Kapara. And it would seem to be much more logical that Yom HaKippurim should come first and wipe away the slate. We should free ourselves from our sins and come in front of God in judgment clean. And then we should go into judgment. Why is it that Rosh Hashanah comes first and only then Yom HaKippurim? Another question I'd like to pose is that Rosh Hashanah, Yomim Lairayim, these are days of awe and dread, and yet we see that they're also days of simcha, of joy, brought down in the Paiskim, in Halacha, that we have meat on Rosh Hashanah, like a yantif, like a holiday, simcha. In fact, the Gemara in Yerushalmi, it says that the Jewish people, they're not like other umas, they're not like other people that are standing in front of judgment. Normally what happens if somebody has a very potentially harsh judgment that he's going to, so he's in mourning, he's in sackcloth, he doesn't cut his hair, he's totally preoccupied, he doesn't wear nice clothing. But our umma, the Bnei Yisrael, they come to Simcha. They dress up nicely. They cut their hair. And the Yishalmi says that they're batuach. They have these cell phones that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do them a neis, a miracle, and find the merit in judgment. What's the meaning of that? How could we have this bitachon, this amuna, this tranquility, this ease, when there's so much at stake, and we know we fell short in our obligation? It's well known that, according to the Jewish calendar, that Parshas Kisavai, the Parsha that we just read, always comes before Rosh Hashanah. And I thought maybe there's a lesson in the Bikurim, in this week's Parsha, that we could learn to answer some of these questions. the famous Medrash brought down in Rashi. Bereishis bara Elokim, the beginning God created. And Rashi tells us, what does that mean, Bereishis? In the beginning, Bishvil Reishis, because of the beginning. Because of the mitzvah of Bikurim, those first fruits that we bring to the Kohen and Beis HaMikdash, for that mitzvah, the very world was created. I understand the mitzvah of Torah, and Iker, fundamental, Shabbat, Chesed, Arvim Chesed Yibanem. If I were to ask you, which mitzvah do you think, on behalf the whole world was created, you wouldn't think of Bikurim. Why then is this mitzvah so important and so integral? And the answer is because when we take up our first fruit to the Beis HaMikdash, and we say the text that we're so true, that's written in Torah, and we acknowledge that all we have, that all God bestows on us, is a gift from Hashem. It's not our own sweat and toil alone that brought forth these fruits. We're not independent. We're not self-sufficient. But we're all here and preserved and nourished from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from God Himself. What that does is that focuses us. That makes a bond, a strong connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and allows us to forge a very strong and loving and intimate relationship that's able to flourish only from that understanding that all we have in this world is but from a gift of God. Yom HaDin, it's truly a frightful day, there's so much at stake. And what that causes us to do is to look inward, to look in our heart, and to think about all the things that we want and we desire, where do they come from? And we think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we think of Hashem, and that focuses us on this very important relationship. And in truth, that really is the purpose of this day. That's the goal and the objective of this day. It's true we have so many wants and so many desires, but what's our objective? What are we coming to do on this day? To call out Avinu Malkeinu, our Father in Heaven, our King, and to recognize that relationship, and to pursue it, to bring out those feelings in our heart of a son to a father, and to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in our life. As well, not only do we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu as an Av, as a father, and as Malach as a King, but we recognize our own relationship. That's the other side of the coin. That we're His children. Banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. You are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. And that's the importance in Tavayda of Rosh Hashanah. Perhaps we could attempt to answer some of these questions that we ask. Why don't we mention all our wants, needs, and tefillah? Why does it seem to be so scant? It's because it's not really the objective of the day. It's to be, as we know, to be mamluk HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to recognize His sovereignty, His kingship, to recognize our relationship to Him. Why is Rosh Hashanah before Yom HaKippurim? Well, a person comes to do tshuva, he doesn't know who he is, he doesn't understand his relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't understand that he's a child, he doesn't understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a father, how much he loves him, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a melech. He doesn't know, Banim Atem L'Atem Elokeichem. How could that person do tshuva? What does tshuva mean? It means coming back home, it means to return. And first we have to establish and recognize this relationship and allow it to flourish in our hearts and to bring it to expression. And in truth, that's why, although these are days of awe, yet really they're days of love. Because we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives, we call out to Him, We cherish our relationship. We see him as a father. We daven to him like a father. Tirachim av al banu. The Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos in Perek Daled in Rosh Hashanah is coming to explain why we don't say Hallel in Rosh Hashanah. And indeed, he refers to the pachad and the ema, the fear and the dread of these days. And he says, therefore, it would be incongruous to say Hallel. Hallel is an expression of joy, and yet there's fear. But the Rambam continues, and he says, what does that fear cause us to do? It causes us to flee to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umivrach umanai eila. You would think that it would induce a person to run away. Who's doing the judgment? HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Let him find somewhere to hide. But where do we take shelter and sanctuary? By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by God, by Avinu Malkeinu. We run into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say, you're our Father. You're our King. Chavos Chaim gives a mashal, a parable that I think is very illustrative of what we've spoken about. And he talks of a prince that was very beloved, and his father, the king, very powerful king. And he rebelled against his king, against his father, the king, something terrible. And the king had no choice but to send him away to banish him to a distant island. And he sent him with a little bit of money, and he put him on a ship, and there he went, off into the distance. And the prince had a little bit of money, but soon enough it was spent, and he was forced to become a shepherd, a simple shepherd, and to toil. And a few years had passed, and it was a big proclamation that the king himself was coming to visit this island. And everybody could come and make a request of that king. You can imagine everybody lines up. There's a long line, and they tell the king can do anything. And they tell him his request. So finally it comes the turn of the prince. And the prince said, my dear king, I'm but a shepherd, and in the winter time it rains, and I'm exposed to the elements, and in the summer the sun beats down upon my head. And it's very uncomfortable. I beseech you and implore you, O king, to please build me but a shed to protect me. And the king said, well, if you only would have asked to come home and to be the prince once again. It's understandable that the king, when he would take the prince back to his palace, all his needs would be met, because he would be in the castle, he'd be in the palace, he wouldn't have any want or desire. And this is what really our goal and objective is in Rosh Hashanah. Come back home to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to recognize his love, his power, his grandeur, our special relationship to him, to realize that we're a prince, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us so much. And may we all merit to recognize this special relationship and to take the opportunity on Rosh Hashanah to foster this relationship to Avinu Malkeinu. Thank you. I would like to now call on Rabbi Singer.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Winter. First of all, honored Rabbanan and Rabbi Winter, I just want to express my heartfelt appreciation to the Kollel of Greater Washington and for all the wonderful things that it does on behalf of Potomac and to the entire Jewish community here in the Greater Washington area. And also a tremendous hakara tov for our friendship, which means so much to me. I want to thank you all for coming. I don't think that I can stand here without first acknowledging the fact that I When I first came to the greater Washington area, we lived in White Oak, and I spent many a Shabbos having the schutz of hearing Rabbi Winter give his drushes, and it's a tremendous honor for me. It's a very humbling experience for me to be standing at the same podium where I had the schutz of hearing him speak so eloquently and powerfully, to be Ma'ora of this congregation and to guide it. And Metz Hashem, Rabbi Winter will once again be back here and be speaking from this podium again. In the meantime, I want to give a bracha to Rabbi Sussman, that the Rabbi Hashem should bless him with the wisdom and strength to guide this very, very special Shabbat. Chazal tell us, and Rabbi Rosenbaum, are you in charge of the time? Do you, somebody wave their hand when I, can you give me a 2-minute warning?
I don't want anyone to wave
to
me.
Okay. Okay. All right, I'll do my best. Chazal tell us that at the time the Rabbanu Shalom hears the Shofar, that the Bnei Yisrael taken the Shofar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omed Mekisei Din Lekisei Rachmi. Chazal tell us that when the Jewish people blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, Hashem moves from his throne of judgment to his throne of mercy. How do we understand? I think that one explanation, perhaps, can be found in a Michtav Me'Eliyahu on an explanation of the Midas HaRachamim, which is the first volume. And the Michtav Me'Eliyahu asks a very fundamental question in dealing with the structure of tefillah. We stand before the Ribbono Shalom 3 times a day and put all of our needs, you know, in the Ribbono Shalom's hands. And in some very real sense, we are being judged. We are making the case to the Ribbono Shalom that he should grant us these needs and satisfy our requests. So it's a time of judgment. So how is it that we begin the tefillah with a mention of the Avos? Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. The God of Abraham, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov. When I was in Chicago, right, one of the important functions of an alderman was to fix parking tickets. If you got a parking ticket, it was considered to be perfectly acceptable behavior to go to your alderman with a parking ticket and ask him to take care of it. It was a W-Dewish. That's the way it was. And I would also imagine that if the alderman knew your grandfather or great-grandfather, then he'd even do more things for you. That was cross the line. So how is it that before we go ahead and ask Hashem to satisfy our needs, to judge us, if you will, we mention that our great-grandparents were great friends with him? It seems to be that we're trying to corrupt Chas V'Shalom, influence in an untoward way, compromise the Ribbono Shalom's attributes of emes and justice. But the fact that he was close to Abraham and close to Yitzchak and close to Yaakov have to do with us and satisfying our requests. And the Michtav Me'Eliyahu answers the question in a beautiful way. And he explains that when we mention Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we're not making a reference to an ancient relationship that's in the past. What we're speaking of are the spiritual power, the spiritual capabilities, the spiritual potential that Abraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov gave to us by dint of their struggles, their trials, their tribulations, and their triumphs. Maisa Avos Sinna Labanim. The work that the Avos did become part and parcel of the spiritual infrastructure, the composition of their children. So when we stand before the Ribbono Shalom and we say, Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, what we are doing is reminding the Ribbono Shalom of our spiritual potential. We are reminding the Ribbono Shalom of who we are and who we want to be. That we are the children of Abraham. we have the capability of being tremendous Balei Chasadim, tremendous practitioners of loving kindness. We are the children of Yitzchak. We are the children of the one who was willing to give his life in the Akedah. Such a Baal Gibor, such a sense of discipline, of strength, and Yaakov of you. This is who we are. And now that we are asking the Ribbono Shel Olam and telling and stating to the Ribbono Shel Olam, this is who we are, this is who we want to be. We want to be close to you. We want to serve you. And this is our fundamental she'ifa. This is our fundamental desire. Now, grant our request. Because if you grant our request, you'll know that we are taking what you are giving to us and we will use it in your service. This is the meaning of the Shemoneh Esrei. And so perhaps when we blow the shofar and it comes from a part of us that is so deep, it comes the Yipach Ba'apav Nishnas Chayim that the Ribbono Shel Olam blew into the nostrils of Adam HaRishon, this breath of life, and we are blowing and giving that breath back, and it's coming from the deepest, most spiritual, most holy part of our being, the Kodesh Kedoshim, that when the Ribbono Shel Olam sees that this is how we are connected to Him, and we have such a desire to be connected to Him, and that this is the whole tachlis, this is the whole reason for our existence, the whole purpose of our existence. So then the Ribbono Shel Olam moves from the Kisei Adin to the Kisei Arachamim. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I don't have to put impediments in your way. I don't have to go ahead and present obstacles because you're going in the right direction. You want to come closer to me, so I will remove the obstacles and I will give you Rachamim and I will give you mercy. Says Brachas, says, Galu the Yadula Fanecha, it's known before you, Ribbono Shel Olam, Shiritzoneinu La'asot Shiritzoneinu, that it is our Ratzon, it is our desire to do your Ratzon. What stops us? Se'or Shebe'isa, Ayeh Sahara. And when we are blowing shofar, that Yeh Sahara is not present. And all we have is that passionate desire to be close to Him. There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that says, "I'm a Rav Yitzchak, ain danin et ha'adam elu l'fi ma'isu shalosa shah." That the Ribbono Shel Olam only judges a person based upon his actions at that moment. And the principle that is elucidated there is ba'asher husham, the way the person is there. And Revolba Zitzal explains that if a person is in that matzav, is in a state where they feel so close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, they feel so connected, their entire desire is to be connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it doesn't matter what averus occurred in the past. And it doesn't matter if in the future some of us, Rahman al-Atlan, may stumble. But if at that moment we have that closeness, then that's how we are judged. I was thinking, these are very lofty thoughts, but maybe there's also some more specific ways, some specific manifestations, some concrete expressions, kavanas that we could have at that moment to demonstrate that sincerity, to demonstrate our heartfelt desire to stay connected. And we could go through a list of all the things that we need to do to improve upon ourselves. We can talk about Talmud Torah, learning Torah, by Winter mentioned, Bishvil Reishis, because of the beginning, Reishis Bara, Bishvil Reishis, the Torah is called Reishis Darka, the beginning of Hashem's way. The world was created Bishvil Torah, because of Torah. And I was thinking that another very important aspect of Rosh Hashanah is this notion, again, of Bikurim. The underlying assumption of Bikurim is Hakarat HaTov, to have a sense of gratitude to Hashem, a sense of appreciation for all of the blessings that He has given us, and a sense of gratitude to all of the people who have helped us. And in order to have that sense of gratitude, we really do have to be able to not only say Hatov HaMeitiv with complete sincerity, but we also have to be able to say Baruch Dayan HaEmes, that when we experience setbacks, it's not something that is so debilitating that it causes us to lose our focus, to lose our connection, that we have to develop the savlanus to be able to remain connected and to be able to remain the good and see the good and affirm the good that is associated with this life. And then I was thinking that also halichas v'drachas on this whole notion of walking in Hashem's way, that we must stay connected to one another. And that we must stay, just as Hashem stays connected to us, when we insult Him, and when we hurt Him, and when we push Him away. As the Talmud Devorah says, this is the midah of savlanus, that the Rabbanu Shalom is a melech elbon. He is called a king who is insulted. So also, when we encounter people who hurt our feelings, who ruffle our feathers, that we don't disenfranchise them, that we stay connected to them. This is halichas v'drachas. Then I thought perhaps there is yet another ha'ara. We know that on Rosh Hashanah it is the coronation of the king. Rav Hutna Zal explained that the malucha, the kingship of Rosh Hashanah, is different than our daily Kabbalah Ol Malchus Shemayim, the daily receiving of the yoke of the kingdom of heaven that we say in Kriya Shema. Because by Kriya Shema we are receiving the yoke, but on Rosh Hashanah we are taking the crown and we are kaviyachol, putting it on the crown, on the head of the king. This is the malucha, this is the malacha, hamlacha of Rosh Hashanah. The Chafetz Chaim said we coronate the king, but the king does not have a palace. There is no Beis HaMikdash. And that is because we are still afflicted with Sinas Chinam. And maybe it's Kedai, and maybe it's appropriate at the time that we are blowing shofar and hearing the sounds of the shofar and hearing the sound and feeling so connected to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, that we make a commitment to work on the Sinas Chinam. I, Yaniv Zeifer, have my own definition of Sinas Chinam. My definition of Sinas Chinam is hatred that could be avoided. Meaning that if you're in a machlokas with somebody and you're big enough to resolve it, even if the other person isn't big enough to bend and resolve it, you're big enough to offer an apology first, even if the other person isn't, and you don't, then it's a machlokas for chinam. It's a sinah, it's a hatred that could be avoided. Because you could be the agent of resolving the conflict. And maybe this is also something we should be thinking about. We should be thinking about that. We should be thinking about the Lashon Hara that we speak. And sometimes we know that the Kohen Gadol did not wear his big day zav, his vestments of gold, into the Kodesh Kedoshim, because then Kitega Nasa Sinega, because of the chait, the sin of the golden calf, we don't want the Kohen Gadol to be wearing gold at the time that he is beseeching mercy from the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And I thought that perhaps this is the reason why, when we enter the Kodesh Kodeshim and Rosh Hashanah with the sound of the shofar, that we blow shofar. Because our mouths, our tongues, are so often used to hurt, so often say so much Lashon Hara, that it's Ketega Nasa Senega, that how can we use this instrument to ask Hashem's mercy? It has to be something deeper. And we have to work so hard to just avoid the pleasures associated with character assassination. And Onis Sevarim, Yigeres Ramban, the very first thing he says, his portal to all spiritual growth. He says, Le'olam, always a person should speak all of their words, the nachas, gently, v'chol etz, all time, v'chol adam, to all people. No exceptions. No exceptions. Always speak gently. Always speak calm. And if we do, we are rewarded with being able to conquer our anger, which leads us to be humble, which leads us to have Yerushalayim. So these are just my humble offerings of what we could think about. There are so many more things to think about at the time that we blow shofar. Because if we think about these things and think about sinas chinam and removing sinas chinam, then not only will we be engaged in the act of placing the crown of Yahweh on the head of our king, but we will also be engaged in building his palace. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Singer, Rabbi Rosenbaum.
You know, I'll tell you every shul is different, every group is different. My shul gets me an eye exam every year. Beautiful thing. Around this time of year, and the method of the eye exam is to make sure I can see the clock from my spot. So I hope, now I appreciate the value of the wave, I'm not sure I can see it for most times. I don't think I can express appreciation nearly as eloquently as Rabbi Singer did, but just briefly, of course, I want to thank Rabbi Winter and the entire Kollel for that, which they do for us, to show my Emuna and the entire community. And I also just want to share my own just feeling for a moment walking in here this evening. A thing I've always admired specifically about Rabbi Winter, specifically about this congregation, has been his ability and the congregation's willingness for him to truly place an imprint upon his tzibur. His approach to service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just my own thought walking in this evening is, even though he's physically not here, to have such a lovely gathering in his shul, to have so many people, so much from all over the community, but particularly from his shul, so many people here, my own feelings are his presence is reverberating around this room every moment. And this course of such a gathering, and all the beautiful mitzvot that his, and avodas Hashem, that his tzibur does regularly, should indeed be a course for all of us, but particularly him, for Xivaksimoto. One of the most basic questions that comes up on Rosh Hashanah is, what are we davening for exactly? This is the issue has already been touched on. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows who we are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what we can do. However one understands the value of maybe if we come with a particularly impassioned tefillah, maybe things will be treated differently. We tried that last year. You know, hopefully we had a little bit of a passion at some point in our davening last year, and hopefully we had it the year before. And you know what? The vast majority of us and the vast majority of our race still backtrack over the course of the year. So what exactly are we focusing on? What's the goal? What do we think we'll accomplish through the beautiful tefillos of Rosh Hashanah, of Yom Kippur? And I just want to focus on a famous story which we'll read on Rosh Hashanah from the Torah. That is the story of Yishmael. We know, of course, that Yishmael was expelled from Avraham and Sarah's home, and they went off into the desert, and he was on the verge of dying. And actually, his mother Hagar, if you look at the Pesukim, his mother Hagar essentially gave him up for dead. And miraculously, he was saved. And the phrase, just to quote a small piece of the pasuk, "Ki shamar lokim al kol hanar ba'asher usham." The phrase also was referred to earlier. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard the voice of this lad where he was. There are two very famous midrashim on this phrase. One, Bashir Husham, the Medrash said that the Malachim, the angels, turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, "Why should you save this person? Don't you know what he and his descendants will do to your people? Why are you saving him?" And the answer is, where he is right now, he hasn't done all these terrible deeds. We should save him because where he is right now. Okay. A little bit of a less famous medrash, also quoted by Rashi, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard the voice of the young man, even though his mother also prayed to God that her son should be saved. Hashem heard the voice of Yishmoel. And Rashi brings down the time we see from here, that the prayer of the sick individual, him or herself, is even more powerful than the prayers of others. So there are two lessons. One lesson is the tremendous power of the prayer of Yishmoel for himself. And the other lesson is that Kadosh Baruch Hu judges us and gauges us based on where we're at. So here's the basic question. Why was Yishmoel saved? It feels like whatever message you emphasize is the answer. If Bashir Husham, if where Yishmoel was at the time, was a merit to be saved, well, you need the great power of Yishmoel to be loved. Bashir Husham, you deserve to be saved. Okay, let's stay off of that. On the other hand, you could give an analysis. It was Kol Hanar, the voice of Yishmoel, the impassioned prayers of Yishmoel, and prayer saved. So it's a little bit difficult to read the pasuk with these midrashim, because which one is it? And I would suggest, related to what Rabbi Singer discussed, I would suggest that the Kol Hanar, this impassioned voice of Yishmoel, redefined Bashir Husham. He was in a different place once he prayed to God. And only the Choleh, only the sick person himself could say such a prayer. Because only the sick person truly understood how desperate the situation was and how much there's no hope without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He felt it even more than his own mother felt it. And his tefillah was such a strong recognition, "I have nothing in this world without the help of God." And the more that was his impassioned thoughts and feelings, Bashir Husham, where he was a different place. That's a very interesting thing to think about come Rosh Hashanah. That if the Kadosh Baruch Hu judges us where we are at the moment, actually our tefillah, our prayers, can be transformative. If we truly believe that our lives are in God's hands, then the logical extension of that is we're compelled to conduct ourselves differently in these lives. If God is the only brachos that we'll get will be because God has willed it for us, we better earn it this year. The place of the person changes. How can we improve our prayers? How can we in a more passionate way? I want to share one story. I'm sure many here have heard it, but I think the story bears a review. I was privileged to be at the funeral for Yaakov Weinberg, Zatzal, the pastor of the Yeshiva of Near Israel. And one of his sons was eulogizing him, and he shared a story. And this story involved his own son, the speaker, was extremely ill. He was already a married man, and he was resting in an upstairs bedroom in the house, and he had been sleeping. He woke up, and he woke up to hearing his father, this distinguished Rosh Yeshiva, screaming, "I want a lollipop!" You know, imagine if someone's sick, and then they wake up to that, maybe it's even worse. You know. And then he said, "I want a lollipop!" So at some point, the sick individual's wife came back upstairs. And he asked, "What in the world is going on down there?" And his wife told him, your father was trying to explain to me how I need to pray for your four shlemos, for your recovery from your illness. And that is, imagine a child asking for a lollipop. How would a child ask for a lollipop? Calmly walk up to the parents or host, excuse me, could I please have a lollipop? Halavai. And if for some reason that doesn't work, probably the excuse me drops off and the tone of urgency increases. And there's no calm request, and there's certainly no calm acceptance of denial of request. And that's how we have to balance our questions. Everything we have this past year, everything we got going, will have in the coming year, is in His hands. This is the big chance. And if only we come with great passion, then we change as people. And that's the greatest merit, to get what we need. I just want to close with my apologies if anyone is here who was in the show last night. I saw recently an interesting word from Rav Naftali Trupp. And he said as follows, there's a line in the Slichot, one of the introductory lines of the Slichot, Kedal Mukhurashim Dafakim Dilosecha. Like poor individuals, we have banged on your door. Yes, what does it really mean? What is it? Okay, to knock on the door, to try to get Hashem's attention. What does it mean? And he said, imagine if we need something from someone else. You know, we hope, we come to the door, we knock a little bit, and there will be an answer, there won't be an answer. Hopefully you'll get an answer. If not, you'll go to the next door, maybe you'll come back later. That's if you're looking for a lawnmower, if you wanted to borrow a phone book, if you wanted to borrow a cement. Let's say you have nothing. You're desperate. You have nothing to eat. You have nowhere to sleep. And your whole existence of the moment is totally dependent on the person whose door you're knocking on. How are you going to knock on their door? The fact is, what's up? Pound on your door. Like poor individuals who pound on the door. That's the way to approach the prayers of this season. Even to catch it in moments, as Rabbi Singer said so beautifully, during some moments in Shlomo Esrei, during some of Yidum Alkenu, but to somehow capture that feeling that it's all in God's hands. If we do that, we should be Zoka, the Basher Hushan, where we are at the moment, transforms to a different place. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rosenbaum. I'd like to introduce Mr. Walter.
Good evening to everybody. Postum Bechelor Asanya, opened by honoring our host, the Kollel, the Community Kollel, Grand Washington Community Kollel, under the leadership of Rabbi Winter. We thank you for opening your door and for allowing all of us in. You know, speakers also need inspiration. So I think for myself, and I'm sure for each of the speakers, seeing the crowd this evening is certainly an inspiration. You know, everybody's schedule is busy and tight and hectic. So seeing so many people come out, Mevakshei Hashem, to come and to hear words of inspiration prior to Rosh Hashanah, a week away, for me certainly, and I'm sure for all of the other speakers as well, it's certainly inspiration for us. According to most Rishonim, the tenth and final of Avram's test is Akedat Yitzchak. I'd like for a moment to focus a bit on the trial and the challenge that Avram had in order to appreciate what the Nisayon exactly was. Avram Avinu waited 100 years for a child. At the age of 100, he was blessed with Yitzchak Avinu. You can imagine the joy, the bliss, the simcha that existed upon receiving such a gift. Actually, that Sarah Imenu refers to this event as Tzchok Asali Elokim, that God performed the Tzchok. Tzchok, we translate in modern Hebrew as joking or laughing, but the way Chazal understand the pshat in the word tzchok is that it's joy. And that word is the root of the Yitzchak's name. The Torah depicts the relationship, the warm relationship that Avram Yitzchak had. And it's clear that Yitzchak Avinu was seen as the forebearer and the progeny of Avram. The Torah refers to the Yitzchak Ikar Lechazara, that Yitzchak will be the child who ultimately takes Klal Yisrael toward the next generation. Fast forward 37 years, Avram Avinu 137, Yitzchak 37, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu calls, Kachna zincha et yechidcha asher ahavta. Take your son, your beloved son, your unique son, et yitzcha, take yitzcha, v'lech lecha al eretz Moria v'halei v'sham l'ola, and take yitzcha to that mountain, to Har Moria, and sacrifice him. There be anything more challenging, more difficult? Waiting 100 years, developing and forging a relationship with the son who's living with you. For 37 years, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu then says, Halei Usham Le'ola, take it. And sacrifice it. What could be more challenging than that? Yet, there's an underlying theme that the Torah doesn't depict, but clearly that makes the challenge even greater. Avraham Avinu preaching monotheism throughout the world. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The Rambam, the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, articulates that Avraham Avinu would stand at the corner and speak to people about what it means to have one God. Now something striking. Avodah Zarah was the call of the day, and a God and one God certainly was not something that was very popular. But Avraham Avinu fought the current and express what it means that there is one God. And now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and tells Avraham Avinu, take this son, who I promise is going to be the Yitzchak Ikar Lechazarah, put him on the Mizbeach for 1 minute. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you just told me that I should be the one to express what it means that there's one God, and now you're telling me to sacrifice my son? I just told everybody that I'm not allowed to do such a thing. The emotional and the communal challenge that Avraham Avinu faced was awful. We're all aware Avraham Avinu stood up to the challenge and he passed. The Malachim came, took him to scribe, that once Avraham Avinu placed Yitzchak on the Mizbeach, the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, it's enough. You've done your job. However, you have to appreciate, understand the story and why this story is referenced throughout Rosh Hashanah. We begin Kriyas HaTorah on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, and the story that's read is the story that I just described. The entire parasha is read. Each of the days of Rosh Hashanah, the Tziyah Shofar, the Ratzag, the Sajidol, Mensons, and many of the printed and many of the classic Mahzorim, 10 reasons why we blow shofar. The 6th of the 10 reasons the Ratzag, the Sajidol write is to recall and to remember Akedat Yitzchak. The Gemara and Rosh Hashanah asks, Lama Tokim, the shofar shall ayil? Why do we blow a ring of horn? The Gemara responds, could they list for Akedat Yitzchak to recall that event, the sacrifice of Yitzchak? In the second of the third section, in Tfilas Musaf, the Zichrono section, the overwhelming motif is all about Akedat Yitzchak, Zichor, recall, Akedat Yitzchak, we're remembering that. That's what we want to remember. And the Musaf of the Bracha that we complete Zichrono with on Rosh Hashanah, V'Akedat Yitzchak Lizaro Hayom, Berachamim Tzizkor. Kadosh Baruch Hu, please recall and remember Akedat Yitzchak with rachamim, with mercy. Baruch Atah Hashem Zocher Abrech. After Rosh Hashanah, in the slichas, these are fundamental slichas of the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, we add a pizmon, we add a stanza, a section called the Akedah. We add an entire section of our slichos, and they're a bit longer as a result, referring to the storyline of the Ekeva. Those are just five examples of this overwhelming theme that throughout Rosh Hashanah keeps on coming back at us, Ekeva, Tiyotzak, Ekeva, Tiyotzak. You'll notice when you pick up the master throughout Rosh Hashanah that this is something that's a strong, strong focus. One may suggest that the simple reason for that is, and the Pitzcha Rabbati suggests this, that actually that Ekeva took place on Rosh Hashanah, and as a result, today would be the appropriate day on Rosh Hashanah to recall the Ekeva. One possibility, a second possibility, and when you look at the Nusach HaTfilah, the liturgy of Rosh Hashanah, you get the impression that the fact that Yitzchak and Avram were willing to be most energetic to self-sacrifice so much for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that should be a merit for us. And that seems to be a very common language in the Nusach and the Tfilah, that we hope that this close in the merit of that which Avram Avinu was willing to do, that we should be saved. However, I'd like to turn your attention to two Lishonos, one in the Gaonim and one in the Rishonim, as to how they understand why exactly Akedah Yitzchak is recalled and reflected on this day. I already mentioned Sadrugon, and when he mentioned that the Akedah has to be pointed out in Rosh Hashanah, he adds the following line. Kain anachnu, he says, we too, nimtzor nafshenu al kedushas shmo yisalei zirchoneinu l'tova. We also have to recall, but not just recall, we also have to give up something. We also have to be mosar nafsh. Today, me, I also have to be a bit self-sacrificial. I have to give something up in order for this recollection to work. Self-sacrifice and the recalling of events is not enough in the mind of Sadi Gaon, but Kain Anachnu, we too, have to recall the events. Avudraham, Rav David Avudraham, on the important Rishonim, in Nusach Tfilah and Hilchos Tfilah, quoted the last in Shulchan Aruch, Beis Yosef brings it. He writes in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, Kol Echad Ve'Echad Tzarek Lotus Asma L'Avodat Hashem. Every person, as a result, also has to push themselves a bit in their worship of God. It's not enough clearly for the Avigrahab and the Psaji Don just to reflect and to recall and rely on that which Avram did and that fact that Yitzchak is willing to go on the altar, but we also have to do that. Where is the Nesilas Nefesh? What's the self-sacrifice of the contemporary 21st century Jew? What are we supposed to do? Avigrahab and the Psaji Don are telling us that in order for that Akedah, which is this theme that's overwhelming, to work, we have to do something about it. Merely to articulate and to mention, discuss is not enough. Two generations ago, my grandparents, as refugees of the Holocaust, came to the shores of the United States, started in Canada, were most inept for Shabbat. My grandfather, Zechon Lavracha, consistently reminded me that every Friday he was told, Joe, his name is Yosef Meir, if you don't come to work on Saturday, don't bother coming on Monday. Not worth it. And every Monday morning, he would get up, put on his tie, and look for a different job. That's what Jews did two generations ago. Let's go back one more generation. Women had to be told in the mix. What are we going to do? Rabbeinu Tam and we already discussed that the Nahar, a river, was a very practical solution. The Ramah Paskins, like the position of Rabbeinu Tam, they were able to be told in the mikvah, which was called the Nahar. And the stories are very well documented, you only need to tell you. Even in the summer, when it's hot, to go into a river at night, not very comfortable. It's cold, it's dark, scary, and that's in the summer. I don't have to tell you what it meant to go to the mikvah in the winter. To break ice, what was that like? That's a mysterious method that we can't even travel, can't even comprehend. Today, I'm told that the Wallace C. Mikvah is a spa. We don't have that issue. How about Talmud Torah? Part of my summer reading was reading the documentation of the escape of the Mir Yeshiva to Vilna, through Shanghai, reaching the shores of Eretz Yisrael in America. When the outstanding Talmidim of the Mir Yeshiva of Aaron Kreiser, Zechonu Lebracha, tell, I asked the son, our owner, Eliezer Kreiser, if this story was in fact true, and he related to me that he heard this from his father directly, there was only one Ksos HaShulchan in the entire Mir Yeshiva. The Ksos is a basic fundamental sefer when you're learning Nezikin, the sefer on Choshen Mishpat, and without it you can't move. You can't move. Anybody who learns Nezikin, to learn the Nezikin without a Ksos is like not drinking water all day. And there was one Ksos in the Beis Medrash, and that Ksos was Rav Shmuel Birnbaum, Zichron Levracha, the Rashiva later of the Mir in America, was his. Where did he get it from? His mother sold two of her dresses so that her son would have a ksos. But that's not what I want to share with you. When he brought this ksos to the Mir Yeshiva, when the Yeshiva was still in the Mir, there were mishmaros. There were shifts to borrow the safe of the ksos. And Rav Aaron Kreiser's shift was 2 to 4 a.m. It wasn't Leil Shavuot, and it wasn't once a week, but every single night, 2 to 4 a.m. was Rav Aaron Kreiser's Zichron Levracha, that was his shift. And he put in a full day's work after that also. Today, in every Beis Medrash, not only is there one Ksos, but there's three different editions of the Ksos. Machon Yishalayim, Mitzvah Ratzot. Every Beis Medrash is shelved, lined with Sfarim. We have access to every safe we want, to the computer, to the Bar Ilan, Machon Yishalayim, whatever we want, we can get access to every safe. Today, I understand that our Ksos is an app. So the Daf HaYomi, Halila, you should press too many times the button to get to the right page. So you can only press your hand once and you'll get the Daf that you need. So where is our Mesirat Nefesh and Torah? I don't think we have to say between 2 and 4 a.m. That's not what we want. Go back two more generations. The Shaf of Shaf Tikoy and Ratzifor and Hilchus Mezuzah from Reish Pei Vav writes that in Prague and Krakow, in the ghetto where the Jews were living, there was no mezuzah. They didn't bring the language of the Shaf, but you read there the reason why a mezuzah was not placed in Prague and in Krakow, and he writes there very passionately, that the Malshinim and the non-Jews in that area were so anti-Semitic that to even think about putting a mezuzah and placing a mezuzah in that section in Krakow or in Prague would be a death sentence. Just 2 weeks ago, here in Washington in the Children's Hospital, the Shnei Am Ve'eda, the mezuzah was placed, Jews, non-Jews, boasting, explaining what a mezuzah is all about. No mistake. One place, finally, that I'll mention in the Rishon, some of the challenges that they had. The Ramban, in a very important letter, documented in Kitzei Ramban, you could read it, writes a very short letter to his son, Rabbi Nachman, when he arrived in Eretz Yisrael after a long journey leaving Europe. And he tells his son that he reaches the Kotel Maravi, and he couldn't find the Minyan. And when you read the Ramban, you could feel his pain. And what it meant to come to Eretz Yisrael and to Yerushalayim and not to have a minyan. Today, in Yerushalayim, there may be a few hours in the day between 2 and 4 a.m., maybe there's not a minyan. But forgetting about it, in Yerushalayim even, in our own community, where do we not have a minyan? Kollel has what? It's a 10 o'clock minyan. Everybody knows, right? Huh? That's not a challenge. So where's our challenge? Where's our Mesirat Nefesh? What do we have to do? I'd like to refer you to the introduction to the Sefer Ein Yaakov, the compilation of the Agaditas in Shas, which is set up alongside the Masechtas in Shas. And the Mechaber quotes there a Medrash, which I have been unsuccessful, I've never found it. And he quotes the following Medrash. Ben Zoma Omer, there's a debate, which is the most important pasuk in the entire Torah? Ben Zoma Omer, Masinu Pasuk Kol Ol Yosef, we found one pasuk that's more important than any other pasuk. Hu Shema Yisrael? Shema Yisrael? Important pasuk. Ben Nanas Omer, Masinu Pasuk Kol Ol Yosef is fine, I found a more inclusive pasuk. V'hu v'hatsa v'yatsa kavoka, to love your fellow brother like you love yourself. Shimon ben Pazyom is the final position. Masinu Pasuk Kol Ol Yosef, I found an even more inclusive pasuk. V'hu, esakevet echor taseh b'boker, esakevet sasheni taseh ben arvayim. That one is required, pasuk in Parshas Tzav, to bring a sacrifice to Tamshul HaShachem, the Tamshul Ben Arvayim. You bring a treat in the morning, you bring one in the afternoon. Now what would you think the most important pasuk of these three are? After Echa Kamocha, Jews die of Kiddush Hashem is saying that. After Echa Kamocha, Chesed, refers so much about the importance. Amar Raploni al Radwa. V'amar halacha kepentazi. Halacha is like pentazi. That the most important inclusive part of the entire Torah is Hashem's 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 Boker. That's Hashem's 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 in our Bible. That's the most important part. To bring a sacrifice in the day and the night. You're a betting person, you would have lost. What is Ben Pazi telling us? And why does the Ploni tell us that this is the most essential pasuk in the entire Torah? I like to suggest that God does not want one thing from a Jew. It's not dying al Kiddush Hashem that God wants. It's not that one act of chesed that God is waiting for. But it's the continuous commitment. It's the day in, it's the day out. Without the fanfare, it's the shachas, it's the mincha, it's the maariv. Whatever it is that you're doing, do it daily. Shoveling somebody out from the snow at 2 a.m. is fine. It's great. But that happens once a year. Telling somebody what it means to love God, to believe in God, in front of many people is incredible. That doesn't necessarily happen to all of us daily. It's the things that happen daily. It's the day in, it's the day out. That's the area that Hashem wants to see. Mesil Tisharim, in the beginning of the Sefer, Moshe Chaim Lusato writes that there are two challenges in the physical world that a person has. It's the Oni Nitzad Echa, the Osher Nitzad Echa. There's a struggle being rich and there's a struggle being poor. And you can't suggest that one is harder or easier than the next. It's equally difficult. Not only is that true in the physical world, but that's true in the spiritual as well. The latter generation's challenge, I believe, was a challenge of being spiritually poor. No mikvah, no sefer kselt shulchan, no shmir shabbos, no job, no mezuzah. That's not our challenge. We don't have that problem. Our challenge is being spiritually rich. We have everything. Access to whatever you want in the simplest, easiest way. The challenge that God has sent our generation is to make sure that we're able to do the things that we've been given the opportunity to do and just do it, to borrow that term. Just do it. Shabbat. We no longer have the challenge, if you don't come to work on Saturday, don't come in on Monday. That's illegal. Sabbath law. That's illegal. Here in Washington, if you work for the government, to arrange a schedule, you can even get off every other Friday. That's not a challenge. Shabbos, for us, do we look forward to it? Are we excited for Shabbos? Do the children feel Shabbos coming? Do they see their parents being passionate about Shabbos? Or is it just an opportunity to take an extra break and rest? What are the sudos of Shabbos like? Is it just lunch and dinner? Or is it a suda Shabbos? With mir. That's our challenge. And it's a challenge. Let's be honest. It's a challenge. Going to the mikvah is not a challenge. We don't have any longer to break the ice. Do we know where we're supposed to go? Do we know the hilchos, halachos of tefillah? Are we meticulous about them? Do we know them? Do we not know them? Do we ask? Are we careful about them are we as careful about them as we should be? That's a mysterious matter for us. Talmud Torah. We have access to everything. So I set up time in my day to make sure that I'm accessing Talmud Torah in my day. Am I learning? Am I making sure that I'm learning? The mezuzah. Am I careful about its kashrut? Who I'm purchasing from? Am I as careful about the mezuzah as I am about other things that I bring into my house? Do I care that it's beautiful? This is the challenge of the contemporary Jew, is the ashira, spiritual, being spiritually rich. Are we able to maintain on a day-to-day basis the excitement, the thrill, and the passion about doing these things daily? As a keres echad taseh bavokev, as a keres hashem taseh ben arbayim. Maybe we'll walk out tonight and you'll say, can't do it. Can't do it? Not possible. I'd like to close with a comment of Reb Chaim Volozhiner in the end of Pirkei Avos in his Sefer Ruach Chaim, who picks up an incongruity in two Mishnayot. The Mishnah in the fifth Perek and the third Mishnah refers to Avram as Avraham. Asar Doros Menoch of Avram, there are 10 generations from Noach to Avram. The next Mishnah says, Asar Nisyonos Nisnas Avraham Avinu. There are 10 tests that Avram, our forefather, had to stand up to. Reb Chaim Volozhiner asked, why is it that in the first Mishnah we only refer to Avraham Stam, and here he's referred to as Avraham Avinu, Avraham our father? Chaim Volozhiner says that an Av in singular and Avinu in plural means that you have a child. The definition of a father is he who has a son and a daughter. That's what an Av is. And just like a father struggles to make sure that their child is successful and puts in a lot of pain and suffering to make sure that their child will take the right path, their biological similarities, the physiological similarities, their emotional similarities that parents have with their children, that become the nature and the nurture for sure of every child. Says of Chaim Volozhiner that Avram Avinu is our father, and Avram Avinu has placed in our DNA the ability to succeed every single time. Asar Nisyonos Nisnase Avram Avinu V'amad B'kulam, and Avram succeeded and passed all the tests with flying colors. We too have the ability, the wherewithal, to succeed in each test that's given to us. Chaim Volozhiner was writing in the mid-1800s, and he says, how is it, and he says this here, on this Mishnah, that a Jew living in Europe all of a sudden can get the courage, pitom he writes, to move to Eretz Yisrael? I'll have to tell you what Eretz Yisrael looked like in the mid-1800s. And he writes, that's because Avraham Avinu succeeded with Lech Lecha, and that now became part and parcel of every Jew's DNA, that we're able to pitom, pick up and go to Israel. The success of a Jew in the Holocaust, a simple Jew, maybe not a religious Jew, to give up his or her life, a kiddush Hashem, where did that come from? We've heard the stories, we've read the stories. Says of Chaim Volozhiner, that comes from Avraham Avinu jumping into the furnace of Rukhaya. It's now part of our DNA. It's in our blood. It's a lifeline that we have with Avraham Avinu. These nisyonos that our generation has. We have the ability, just like our forefathers and grandparents and great-grandparents had the ability to succeed in passing the Oni Mitzarech, being spiritually poor. And we have to appreciate and understand that it's just as difficult to be spiritually rich. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the courage, the fortitude, the strength to stand up to these tests. And it's on Rosh Hashanah for this very reason that the theme of the Akedas Yitzchak is a refrain that's mentioned over and over, like Abu Jerham and Fadigon mentioned, that we also have to do something in order for this to work. In order for this chut ha'akeda to last and to continue and to reverberate in Shemayim, it has to be that we're also giving up something. Kadosh Baruch Hu should grant each and every single one of us a ksiva v'chasima tova and a good adventure.
Thank you, Rabbi Walter. Avadim Chashuvim, thank you for your inspiring words and edifying ideas. And we all bring these inspirational thoughts into Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and be Bezreta for a good convention to Yar. And Hashem will have Myers now with Yar.
Thank you very much. We're going. Okay, good.